The Iraqi government has more than its share of problems to overcome. Daily violence, an economy in ruins, corruption, sabotage, chronic gas and water shortages, and almost no public services to speak of. So, just a few months into its first year in office, what did most members of the nascent Iraqi government do? They took a month-long vacation. This has not played well among religious leaders or the Iraqi people. NPR's Corey Flintoff has more.
Baghdad, the summer of 06. How bad is it? So bad, words alone can't describe it. You need music, too. That's a popular download on the internet here. A survivor song from the 1980s turned into a song about survival in Baghdad. Trying to get through your day with no electricity and no gasoline. So what do you do when you have the summertime blues? You call up your congressman, that's what. Nobody home at Falah Hanagib's office. He's a member of parliament and a former minister of the interior. You'd think he'd be worried about this. Let's try Humam Hamoudi from the Skiri party.
The number you are calling is not answering. Please try again later.
Oh, okay. Sorry. How about Dr. Mahmoud Uthman from the Kurdish Alliance?
No, Alani.
Not available. I see. Is there someplace else I can reach him?
Wallahi, huwa musafir mawjud Baghdad. Wallahi, inshallah, halayyam. Bas shuwak idda zawadu aruf.
He's traveling, not in Baghdad. He'll be back soon, they say. When, they don't know. It's a common refrain in Baghdad these days. No doubt the lawmakers and officials are all meeting with constituents or with foreign dignitaries, like congresspeople in the U.S. Whatever the case, it didn't matter to the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, the most influential Shiite cleric in Iraq. He issued a statement chiding the lawmakers for taking a break while the country is in crisis. Sistani's words struck a chord with many Iraqis, including Muslim Majid, a 55-year-old government worker who's washing himself before prayer at the local mosque.
What Sistani says is very true, because when the official goes abroad, he doesn't feel the suffering of the Iraqi people.
Standing nearby is Hassan Jawad, a writer and journalist. He says that even when they're in Baghdad, officials enjoy luxuries that ordinary people can only dream about.
There's no electricity, but he's got a silent generator. There's no water, but he's got different kinds of mineral water brought in from Amman.
That's also the theme of the Imam's Friday sermon.
Allahu Akbar.
Sheikh Fadil Musin is blind, but he can hear the sounds of black market corruption.
Now, if you go out in the street, you hear the gasoline dealer ringing his bell, not afraid of the government. You ask him, how much does this gas cost? He names the highest price he can get. You hear the propane dealer banging on his propane tank. You ask him, where does he get it? And he curses the government. Where is the government?
The imam berates the politicians with the worst comparison he can think of.
Look at their wealth, and when it comes to explaining themselves, they blame Saddam and his infidel party. We hope the day doesn't come when we say Saddam's regime was better.
After the sermon, Ala al-Rubai'i is indignant. The 32-year-old taxi driver says people's votes were worth plenty when the politicians were running for office, but they got cheap fast after the winners took their seats in parliament.
Does God give them the right? Does religion give them the right? Does humanity give them the right to take a vacation and have fun when people are in these miserable conditions?
Of course, Mr. Rubai could call them up and ask. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Baghdad.